Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
It is the Wednesday edition. The live from my house edition of Wilde and Tausch.
Oh my God.
Good morning, Mr. Tauscher.
You know how some days, you know, you think and been doing this show for a long time and you wonder, what am I doing in my life? And then today is one of those, this is what I'm doing in my life.
Yeah.
So I couldn't be happier to be here at your house. This is my first time to your house. So
You are one of my last ESPN Madison teammates to make the trip over to the house. Yes, okay. Almost everyone else has been here.
Well, as Mo keeps licking my legs and everything else, it's probably going to be the last time, but I'll tell you what, I'm excited to be here.
It's Wilde and Tausch. Brian Bulaga is scheduled to appear a little bit later in the show, as well as Homer. No Jason Wilde today. He has prior commitments, which I will refrain from sharing what they are today. I'll let him reveal that tomorrow.
Sure.
So we'll let Jason share with everyone what he's up to today, tomorrow, when he returns to the show. So he is gone today. He will not be joining his own show as a guest, which usually
he's going to take a day.
He's been known to do that from time to time, yes. But Brian Bulaga and Homer still scheduled to appear throughout the course of the show today. Plenty to get into. Packers training camp, the final practice of training camp tomorrow with the Seattle Seahawks in Titletown. Keyshawn Nixon had some interesting things to say. It is Brewers George Webb's Burger giveaway day today.
Not a great day for the brew crew yesterday.
Could have been better. There's no doubt about that. But we begin with your trip to my home. Welcome, Tausch.
Yeah, so in the Everlight Solar Studio yesterday, and I didn't realize you kind of threw this at me. It's obviously a much shorter trip for me to come here.
Mm-hmm.
You, I think,
from your undisclosed location. Right.
For you, this was genius. Because we would have been in the Everlight Solar Studio.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would have been fine. It would have been easy for Hunter and everybody else. But you threw it at me at the end of the show and kind of put it on me. And everyone in our office thought this would be the funniest, best thing. So me being the teammate that I am, I said, you know what? Let's do it. And here we go. Now I'm here. I brought you some dunkers.
Appreciate
that. I believe that was your top ranked dunker, right?
Cream dunker is number one in
That's
my
what
dunker
I thought.
Rankings,
so
yes.
As a you know, unlike your buddy Fasano, who wasn't sure what he was gonna bring, I would have went cherry and or blueberry.
Oh, blueberry would be
for
number
me,
two in my rankings,
but this was you know, I wanted to be a good, gracious guest, and that's what we brought. So here we go. Your place is nice. You're in a really nice neighborhood. You have a nice bar. I have not done the full tour. I'm sure maybe we'll do a little digi. Come on. Come on.
What? What did he
do? This dog is going to annoy me the whole show.
He's a good boy.
He can be a good boy, and I can still not get chewed on for the whole show.
He's not
This is what I was nervous about.
He wants to play with
you.
No,
that's fine. I don't want to play with him right now. We can play during the breaks.
Why do you dislike dogs, Tyler?
Yeah.
I don't dislike dogs.
It sure
I had some incidents as a kid. I've told you this. I got bit, so I've had a healthy fear of dogs.
He's like the cutest dog possible.
He's nipping at my feet. He's nipping at my calf. Now he's jumping up on my lap. So that's it. I don't mind dogs. Like, I enjoy watching other people enjoy dogs. I will walk. I enjoy walking a dog.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know about the full-on lifestyle of having a dog that I don't think is where I want to be. Now, I might get vetoed on that at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I've fended it off so far.
Well, you already fed him a portion of the end of
yeah,
your,
he had some,
your first
he had a big
dunker,
clunk so of my dunker.
You made a good friend already.
Yeah, good boy.
And that's hey, why,
he's a good boy.
That's why Mo wants to play more with you. He said, what else you got up there, big fella?
Well, that's all I got for you, mm-hmm. big fella. That's mm-hmm. all we got. So that's why we're here, and I can't wait for you to show. I'm a little bit disappointed because I know how big a fan Becca is of the show.
Yes.
And I believe she works from home occasionally. I'm a little bit bummed because we would have definitely had her on the show today had she been working from home.
I know we would have.
And she would have, I'm sure, given us a lot of really good stuff on you had she been here. But she is the wise one in your group. She wisely got out of here.
Yeah, she did. She wanted no part of this. When I told her when I got home yesterday, she was
Did she ask why?
Yes, that was. So I texted her shortly after the show, and she was generally unavailable for most of the day. So I texted her after the show. She responded around 3 o'clock and just said, "I told her, hey, Tausch might come over and do the show tomorrow," and she said, "Why?"
That's
no punctuation, so it's like the irritated, you know,
sure.
kind of comes off and.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, it kind of came up on the show spontaneously. We
it
both
did come up spontaneously.
Could be fun.
You brought it up. There was no spontaneity.
Yeah, I hadn't thought more. Like, yeah, did I think, what was I going to do with the dog for the entire 3 hours of the show? No, I didn't think he'd want to play
know
with
what
the
I think
seahorse
happened
here while we're
you
going.
You want to know what I think happened?
What?
You wisely didn't want to go into work. You get to go to the fantasy draft in Milwaukee tonight.
ESPN Wisconsin fantasy draft at Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
Didn't want to have to get a dog sitter or whatever you do.
Don't
with
need
the dog.
A dog sitter. He stays home all day now.
Is that safe?
Yes.
Okay. And you just didn't want to leave, and you used me as a pawn in this game. Is that fair?
No. No,
Hunter,
you
yeah, I was a pawn.
Knock that off.
I was a pawn in your game.
Yes.
I was a pawn in
I
your game.
This was all Jesse's plan all along. Yeah. We should have read right through this and made him come in. I can't believe that we missed
this. Well, Hunter, in fairness, that was my plan, but between our general manager and our team in the office yesterday, the excitement level that they had with, you're going to go to Jesse's house to do the show? That swayed me into saying, all right, I'll bite the bullet.
This is completely on all of us here at ESPN Madison. We fell for Jesse's ploy, and I'm really disappointed in the collective at this office that we didn't see right through this plan.
Yeah, Jesse,
no,
well done.
You guys give me
you
too
executed.
Much, you guys give me too much credit to think I'm diabolical enough to scheme this far ahead of
you're
time.
You're more diabolical.
I'm not that good to come up with a plan like this. So here's the thing. Jason gets to do this all the time.
Yeah, he
hosting
does.
Hosting a show from his basement. Yep. During the COVID pandemic, it became a lot more regular for people in every industry to work from home. Becca never worked from home until COVID, and now she's regularly at home multiple times a week. Mm-hmm. Other people, you know, it spans industries, it spans jobs. That the versatility of working remotely has become a big thing. Even in the heart of the pandemic.
Live from Jesse Nelson's home.
on YouTube. Beauty. Thanks for everyone joining. Just wait till you look at these YouTube comments. They're coming
I'm
in
sure
pretty strong
be
already.
Pretty beautiful.
So even during the heart of the pandemic, like I was going into the office every day. So I've never done this.
That is true. You
so
never
this is
have.
A new like for many people, they're like, what's the big deal? You're just at Jesse's house. He's just working at home for the day. But I never get to do that. So this is a fun
well, you're welcome.
New thing. And
you're
thank
welcome.
You for being part of it with me.
Yes,
absolutely.
You're very welcome.
844-770-3776 is the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text line. Liz is more.
You got a lot of coffee pots in your house. So you got two down here. Yeah, you got one. You got me a great cup of coffee.
Yep.
Got me a cup of mud upstairs. You have three coffee makers.
We do. We have so
why?
We have two coffee pots and then one.
Do you have a French press?
Cup.
I could see you being a French.
We do
press
not have
guy.
A French press. Although the coffee maker upstairs, you can do like lattes and stuff with it. You are going to be...
Mo's going to annoy me today.
I mean, you can go home if you want. It's a short drive. I know where you live. It's not that far.
I won't be able to get home in time for the next segment.
Okay.
Well,
we're
we
locked
do what
in.
We do with Jason, and we just do trivia while he's heading back
while
home.
While you're heading
that's
back
fair.
To practice.
That's fair. We'll see. If Mo keeps annoying me, we might have...
He's laying down.
Oh, good boy, Mo.
He's laying
oh,
down
good boy,
being
Mo.
A good boy. So we, when Beck and I lived separately, we each had our own coffee maker, plus she had the individual maker as well. So when
sure.
we moved in, I didn't want to get rid of mine. I really like mine.
Yeah.
So usually when I'm down
so
here,
so it sits here empty. On
no,
the
in the eve, in the I thought about making coffee just for you down here.
Oh, that would have been
that.
Really nice.
And then I thought, oh, that's
maybe we'll do that at the break.
Then you're going to get distracted by it, but you got distracted by it anyway.
It's
so
true.
That is what it is. I picture Tausch in Jesse's house like Will Ferrell in Elf from Ian in East Troy.
Does that mean like a small house, big guy?
Yeah, have you ever seen Elf?
I have. I love Elf.
Will Ferrell is a regular-sized human, and he goes to...
Elf house.
Elf house, yeah.
No, you have a normal-sized house.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Do you want to move around at all throughout the show? Like, what do you want to
do? During breaks, yes. Why would we... So you want to put more work on yourself moving Comrexes and
hardly
video
any
screens?
Work, and the burden of what I would have to go through is nothing for the sake of our fans.
Sure.
And for you,
no, gosh. I do think, you know, I think we should do some tours of the house during... You know, we're always looking, trying to figure out digi-only breaks in between commercials, so we'll do that. No, I think this is a nice perch. You got a nice, solid chair. I think for the scenario that we're in, this is, other than the dog, like, constantly licking at me, everything else has been, I think, about what I expected.
Okay. Well, that's good, I guess.
Speaking of that, I mean, let's. Mm-hmm. I mean, at some point we're going to get to it.
We're going to get to.
What did we think of? Yeah. Is there any jitters about what we saw yesterday in Chicago? Do you have any jitters? You are the jittery Brewer fan.
No, getting beat in the doubleheader. That's what you're
getting swept.
Joey Ortiz being
got
having
hurt.
To leave the game with
yep,
an injury. We don't know where he's at with that yet. No. I'm not nervous.
Okay.
If the Brewers had lost the first, I thought the first game of the series in Chicago was the most important game. Or the first game of the series.
I'll say this. If this gets to five games, which if the Cubs win the next two, it's a five-game sprint. Five games.
Five-game lead. Yeah.
No more, but they also would have the tie break. Mm-hmm. My nerve antenna is going to go up a little bit. Now, if it's at seven, and but then the Cubs will still own that tiebreaker, winning the division, this was the let's stomp on their throat. We're not going to stomp on their throat. We can still win the next two. Mm-hmm. Have that, and then I don't know what the season. If we win the next two, do we win the season series?
We yes, the winner of this series wins the season series.
They okay, so we got to win the next
it.
Two. We got the Miz going today.
Yes,
correct.
I believe that's correct. Let me double check.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
so the Miz going today
with the doubleheader reschedules. I wasn't.
I missed
sure if
Hunter
around,
Sports
so,
Center yeah. as I was getting licked and feeding dogs donuts and things of that nature. That's what this, you know, I think this is one of those where you can bury a team. You're probably not at that point now, but I am not nervous. I just wonder, and I don't know how many Brewer fans feel this way. Like, do you feel like, can you play at that level, drop down, and then regain that level? Or do you feel like this, what we've already seen is our best baseball? Or do you think we can play better? I don't know if we – I mean, it's really hard to ask someone to play better than, 29-4?
Yeah, it's one of the best stretches in baseball history.
Yeah.
Like, you can't ask for really anything better than that, but you're asking to get hot at the right time. I asked Matt Hamilton this last week. You know, he's an Olympic gold medalist, a professional athlete. I thought his insight on this was pretty interesting. I asked him about peaking too early. Mm-hmm. And ask, is that a real thing? Because I feel like, you know, you're an analyst. We, the media,
sure.
say, oh, you can't trust the Packers going into the playoffs. They peaked too early this year. Oh, you can't trust the Yankees. They peaked too early. Well, you could say that about the Brewers here in this stretch in late July and August, that they peaked too early. They got too good too fast, and now they're battling some injuries, and they're going to try and get things situated, and they're going to kind of cruise, you would hope,
yeah.
to a division title into the playoffs. For you, as a longtime NFL player, mm-hmm. and is there such a thing as peaking too early?
I think there is. There's the thought process. There is. I do believe you can peak too early. I think that comes back to the character of your locker room and the understanding. Baseball is a heck of a lot different than football. Baseball, you're going to have some bigger swoons. You look at, and I've heard Chewy say this about his Super Bowl championship team. You know, the team I was a part of that we ended up winning a Super Bowl. There were some eras in that season that were rough. Detroit losing 7-3 and then getting beat in New England. That actually was a springboard. You're going to have moments of adversity that you have to, you know, fight through. Why I am not nervous is because you're not going to keep up that pace. Would you like to go in and just step on their throats down in Wrigley? Yes. Chicago is a good baseball team. They have played better than the Brewers. I know Pat Murphy kind of talking last night after, oh, we hit the ball hard. That's baseball, right? Mm-hmm. So there isn't this, well, we're going to fall off. It's do you keep that confidence? And the big thing is handling the pressure of it. When you're a one seed or you're the best team, which the Brewers are on pace to be the best team in the entire Major League Baseball, can you handle that pressure? And that, I think, when you listen to the Patriots when they were 16-0, every game you're getting everybody's best shot, everybody coming for you. That is a foreign thing to the Milwaukee Brewers. Not to the Green Bay Packers, to the Milwaukee Brewers. That is a foreign deal where everybody is, that's a great team. And if we don't play our best, when you have to deal with that and the expectation game that Milwaukee is not dealing with, I know that I'm sure there's been plenty of Packer teams. You could look at the COVID team. You could look at that San Francisco game where that expectation, I think, in that San Fran game really weighed on that team. Mm-hmm. And you start feeling that pressure, how your guys can respond and if you can overcome that, that's the question. And this series feels postseason-ish to me. You're playing during the day. Every pitch, every at-bat matters. You know, Woodruff trying to get out of a jam, was able to once, not the other time. And then can you fight back and get it because you start feeling it? And this series, I think, gives you a little bit of a window into what the postseason is going to look like. And that's why I think bouncing back and, you know, having some resolve and not letting this thing slide, this is postseason baseball. You're going to have a couple games. Doesn't work. All right. Can you rebound and not let it turn one into two, into three, into four? That's going to be really the big test that this team has the next two games. And if they lose those two, all of a sudden you're going to start hearing all those Cubs fans and everybody else, well, maybe Milwaukee's not that good. They're only five up. Oh, can they blow a nine game? That's the stuff that you have to deal with that a lot of these guys have never had to do.
So I agree with all of that, and I think that's great insight. The one thing I'll say about this feeling like a postseason series, because I, coming into the week, felt that way entirely. With the rain delay doubleheader and the extra innings on
that
Sunday.
That rain really helped the Cubs.
It did help the Cubs tremendously because the Brewers were
they were rattled.
The Brewers were preserving pitching Monday afternoon and Sunday afternoon because they thought they were playing two games on Monday. Well, then that backfired, mm-hmm. and then it turned into what it was yesterday, and then they were down in the evening game. So now some of their back-end relievers, Uribe and everybody, they've gone like 3 days without pitching, which is nice, I guess, if they have a lead in these next two. But with the injuries the Brewers have sustained and the way that the extra innings on Sunday led into the weird rain situations on Monday and Tuesday, that threw off the feeling of the postseason nature of this series to me. Because I think it would be a very easy rallying cry for Pat Murphy to tell everybody as they land in Chicago on Sunday evening, guys, we're treating this like a playoff series. It's best of five. I want to see how you do. Let's go win three, and let's see. Like, let's win the clinch the season series, put these guys to bed, win the division right here, and this is going to feel like a dress rehearsal for the playoffs. And for him managing those situations, for the players in those situations, I think it would have made a lot of sense. But it wasn't that because of the rain and the doubleheader turning into a doubleheader Tuesday.
I don't think yes, you could look at it from that perspective. I'm thinking more just the way it's lined up. The Cubs are a playoff team. You're playing these games, bing, 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 kind of like you do in the postseason. And the crowd, the energy, and the fact that you know the Cubs are at the right at death's door there, and you could slam that door shut. That all, you factor all that in, and that it's your old manager and the rivalry. All of those things just add another layer because at this point, the Brewers are a playoff team. Where they're going to end up being seated, we don't know. It is going to come down to how do you handle adversity and how do you handle, you know, the pressure of these big moments. Because postseason baseball is all about big moments. Postseason football is all about the big moments. Who can make the big hit? We've seen this team over and over do it. Can they do it when the lights are going to be the brightest? This is the brightest lights series so far. Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be more and more. And I think after this, if I said going in, if you go 2-3, 3-2, you're in 3-2, you're in great shape. 2-3, you're fine. You just can't get swept. They're not going to get swept. So if you win one, and if they, for surely you win two, all of a sudden then I think it's just, it becomes kind of a free flow. Everybody's going to go. And that can be good. But I do think there is something to be said about the teams that are kind of hardened by having to go through the idea of, if we don't win this, we're eliminated. We have to have that high intensity. The problem with that, if you have to be highly intense for a long period of time, eventually that flame burns out. You don't want to use all your kerosene. You want to be able to have a bank of it left to reignite. And this is why I think this is all a very good thing. You're getting all of that with the buffer because you've been so good that you're going to be able to have that leftover kerosene to light this thing up, get set, and then get settled in for, you know, hopefully a long October run.
If I'm Pat Murphy, I'm lighting that kerosene today. And I'm saying these next two, you win these two, you win the division, or you win the division, basically, because you're going to win that tiebreaker. You're going to be 9 up leaving town. So treat these next two. Your back end of your bullpen is rested and ready to go. You got the Miz tonight. Like, let's win these two. Treat these like playoff games, must-win situations. That's your ultimate dress rehearsal for the playoffs.
Hunter, do you feel the same way?
I think so. I was even just about to ask you guys, do we think that the Miz gets used as just an opener? Like, he gets 3 innings, and they're just like, go throw gas for 3 innings,
like,
and then
five.
We're going to take you.
I think you'd like to get 5 from him and not, yeah, you know, not have him go through the order a third time. That's the big analytical point.
He didn't even make it out of the second none.
But
right?
That's
I think for him, because it's just, like, important. You know, let's get his velo back up. Let's get him back to feeling Mizzy, because I think he is he's been a little bit. It hasn't been as good. And I think he has been a real spark plug as far as why – this team not only is viewed a certain way, but I think has been able to win. So I don't know if I'd go as far as what you're saying. I definitely feel like you're going to use your bullpen in the ways you feel. And if you have to, you know, sacrifice a little bit for that series with the Giants coming up this weekend, so be it, because you want to put your mark on this, I guess, this run, ending the Cubs' hopes. And you can do that if you can find a way to win 2 this weekend.
Brewers Cubs 7:05 tonight at Wrigley Field. Pregame coverage starts at 6:30 on 620 WTMJ, 95.3 WBEV, and 100.5 ESPN Madison. Tausch is at my house for the show today. And if you look around, you'll see that we're going to be in the market for some new windows here pretty soon.
Oh, you got some window issues.
Well, we're getting there.
If you do, Pella is your place to go. And for long-lasting comfort and reliability, trust Pella. Each piece specifically constructed for your home, always designed with innovation, rigorously tested for quality and performance, and built to create long-term energy savings. And there is no reason to wait, because if you order by August 31st, you get zero interest for up to 60 months. That's 5 years of no interest payments. Don't miss out on this deal. Visit PellaWI.com today. Certain restrictions do apply.
Brian Bulaga scheduled to appear coming up a little after 9:30. Coming up next, Keyshawn Nixon, the subject of Jason Wilde's latest article at channel3000.com. Big time backtrack from Keyshawn Nixon on something he said a few months ago. We're going to hear that next. Live from my house, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Live from my house, it's Wilde and Tausch. No Jason today. Jesse and Tausch. And Mo sleeping under Tausch's chair.
Yeah, Mo, I fed him enough donut. He's taking a little napper.
It's nap time. 844-770-3776. The Carbless ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text Line. Again, 844-770-3776. See some of the Brewers texts coming in. We'll get to those a little bit later before we get to Homer coming up at 10:30. Missed him last week. Looking forward to Homer being back on with us.
Was Homer not here last week?
No, he was not. Okay. You were on the show that day when he was gone.
But he's in Ireland.
Yes, there you go. Yeah.
Ahoy.
There it is. I want to talk about Keyshawn Nixon for a minute, because Jason wrote about him over at channel3000.com following yesterday's
practice. Subscribed to his newsletter?
I don't have to. It's free at channel3000.com.
No, but he's got a newsletter he wants you to subscribe
to. No, I do not get the newsletter.
And what does that show up like on your phone
every
day?
It's in your email. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'll just click on channel. Jason does a great job. We all know that. I'm not going to give him too much credit, but I'll give him credit when he's not here. He does a great job.
He does.
Lot of storylines with the – take the Irish kicker out of the equation. I'd rather have Homer. When he was in Ireland, give me a report back on the Irish kicker than what Jason did that day.
Keyshawn Nixon did meet with the media yesterday, and he is the subject of Jason's latest article, expected to be CB1 heading in here to the 2025 season. Now, I want to do a little exercise here for you, because this stood out to me from what Keyshawn Nixon had to say yesterday. Back on January 14th, after the conclusion of the season, when the Packers lost in the wild card round to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
Keyshawn Nixon was asked in the Packers locker room about looking ahead to the following season, likely with no Jaire Alexander coming back. And here is the question and the answer. I think there's actually a couple of questions in this sound clip from one of the reporters up there in Green Bay about handling kick return responsibilities. Here's that interaction from January 14th.
After a full season, what are your thoughts on the kickoff rule?
I don't know. I'm kind of over it. I don't really want to do it no more. So there's going to be talks with the coaching staff and stuff like that, but I think it's over with for me.
You don't want to return kickoffs?
I'm kind of through with that.
Is it because of how busy you are on defense or because of the reaction to the rule?
I want to be CB1, so CB1 not doing kick return. So that's just what it is.
January 14th.
Yeah, I remember when he said that, and we were very critical of that because Keyshawn Nixon made his career based on being a kick returner.
His best play as a Green Bay Packer was a kick return against the Minnesota Vikings.
He had another good one against the Dolphins. He, he had a great his initial campaign with Green Bay, and that's got him a contract extension. I'm all for players wanting to elevate their roles and elevate their worth to teams. I think that's a healthy way to look at it, but you have to remember the main thing is the main thing. And unless they draft a guy who is dynamic and electric, I don't ever want players to kind of take things and say, I'm not doing this. You can have those conversations, do it in closed door. Again, after seasons are emotional. I give guys some grace. I am not going to crush Keyshawn. I thought when he said it, it wasn't going to be accurate. Turns out I don't think it's going to be. But the fact that Keyshawn Nixon has continued to withstand and take this number one corner job on, it's great to see. I wonder how it's all going to hold up, because he is going to run into a murderer's row of wideouts throughout the course of this season. And I know Jeff Hafley's defense, it's not a real match-for-match type of deal. It's going to be play your spot. Keyshawn Nixon's been, I think, better than we all anticipated when he was first here and when he signed his extension. But now he is the guy. And, whether or not Valentine ends up, overtaking, or if Hobbs comes up, I don't know how that's all going to shake itself out. But throughout camp, he's done that. And he's confident. He's a leader on this team, and you have to applaud the way that he has stuck with, believed in himself, and I'm guessing the quotes we're going to hear after this, you're going to hear he's very confident heading into this upcoming campaign.
Keyshawn Nixon's never been one shy to have a little confidence, I don't think.
You can't play that spot and not be confident. Even if it's fake confident, you have to have a memory of an ant. And then you better be ready to get back on the horse, because stuff's going to happen when you play that spot.
Well, just wait till you hear a couple of the names he's putting himself in the same category as. Here is what Keyshawn Nixon said after practice yesterday about handling kickoff responsibilities this year.
I don't ever want to take myself out of the return game. Just, I know playing corner is like a heavy load on myself already, but I know my ego is not going to let me, game on the line. I'm going with the ball in my hands at the end of the day. I don't think nobody can mess with me when I got the ball in my hands. So it's just being a Swiss Army knife, being able to do it. Some of the greats did it, Deion, Charles Woods, and stuff like that. And I just want to put my name in that hat.
Those are great names.
Deion Sanders, Charles Woods, and Keyshawn Nixon.
And that's why you don't take a ton of stuff that is said right after a regular season or a postseason loss. It is emotional. You're going to I can't tell. It's just you have a gut feeling of a lot of loss, and you just kind of want to get the heck out of town. Here, confident, get the ball in your hands. He feels like that, and I don't think he's saying he's there yet. He's saying those guys did it. I can do it too. Great. Love to see it. Whether or not that's going to be accurate, I mean, Deion is the greatest to ever do it. Charles Woodson is right there. You want to put yourself in that category. That is awesome. That is a big, big test. I mean, that is a big test that you're going to be giving yourself. And you have a long way to even think about proving that. But I don't want my – that is a position you can't have Johnny mild-mannered guy. Like, you need bravado. And you need to have a short memory. And you need to believe that you are the best in the business. And if you don't, you're not going to have a ton of success. So I don't have any problem for as much. I am not a trash talk bravado guy. That's not how I operate. But that is how defensive backs, I think, need to. The great ones all had that little edge to them. Keyshawn has that edge. Now, whether or not he has that talent to put himself in those categories, I hope he does. I think that's a pretty... You're talking about two of the best to ever do it? Awesome. Even if you fall short of that and you're really, really good, I think Green Bay will be very happy.
Keyshawn Nixon going to be CB1 likely here for the 2025 season, and that means week one he will be among the players on the Packers' defense. You can pick on Prize Picks to get an interception off of Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions.
Yes, indeed. Preseason football, it's finally winding down, but the Prize Picks has all kinds of fun options, season-long projections. Week one, you said there's a couple of freebies. There's a 0.5 in the games this weekend. Week zero.
Avery Johnson.
And then Dak Prescott in week one of the NFL season, 0.5. So there's always fun little stuff to get started with Prize Picks. The best way to get action on sports in more than 40 states, including California, Texas, and Wisconsin. Prize Picks puts their members first, so all withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. They offer Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more for quick and easy deposits into your account this season. Prize Picks invented. They are the Thomas Edison of the flex play, which means you can still cash out if your lineup isn't perfect. You can double your money even if one of your picks doesn't hit. Prize Picks is the best way to win real money during the football season. You have opinions. You think that San Fran's going to struggle. You think that the Rams not going to have a great season. Turn your sports opinions into real cash on Prize Picks. Download that Prize Picks app today. Use code WI. You get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's code WI. $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. Run your game.
Jaden Daniels, less passing yards for the season.
What is his number at?
I think his stock's way too high. I got to check what it is, but I want less on it.
They did,
that.
You know, obviously Scary Terry. We don't know how that scenario is going to go. I'll be curious what Rodgers in Pittsburgh is looking like, Russ Wilson with the Giants, and some of the things that he might be just a placeholder for Jackson. That's the beauty of it, and you can take what you think and how you feel, and you can turn that into real cash with Prize Picks.
3,424.5 for
it's
Jaden
not that
Daniels.
Much. It's not a big year.
I'll take less.
All right.
And I'll take more of Brian Bulaga. He's scheduled to appear. Coming up next, live from my house, it's Jesse and Tausch on Wildy and Tausch.
This is our crew.
Flair, shallow center. Here's the throw from Perkins. It is going to be in time! Blake Perkins says goodnight.
Madison's home for Milwaukee Brewers baseball. 100.5 ESPN.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in, but when I go back home, I've got some famous friends. Yeah, I do.
You know what that music means. Jesse and Tausch today on Wildy and Tausch. He was also invited to my house, but...
Did you invite Brian?
I did. I
got
told
a third chair here. Yeah,
I told him you were going to be here. I don't know if he believed me.
I know I didn't believe you.
Also, a little bit longer of a drive for him than it is for you. I know that.
Yeah,
I don't know exactly where he lives, but I know that from experience heading to pick you up to go to different remotes.
Sure.
Brian Bulaga joins us on Wildy and Tausch live from my basement. Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, that's definitely your basement. You weren't lying about it. Last night you said it may be from my house, and you were not lying. Yeah, it's definitely your basement. So I'm good. It's
so
good
Blue,
to see you guys.
Blue, when you have people over, and if you're having a coworker, a teammate, whatever you want to phrase it, what are the big things? Like, do you offer coffee, water? What are the big things? What's the Bulaga household welcoming party? What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Well, I mean, is it just time of day? Is it any time of day, or I mean,
yeah, let's go. Let's go 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
I'd say after work.
Yeah,
after work. 4:35.
After work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, after work, certainly a beverage, whether that is water, a cocktail, you know, one of those two, and then most likely food.
Yeah.
I mean, it's after work. It's around that time, so. Whether that is hors d'oeuvres or something small, or if they're staying for dinner, there's going to be food involved. But that's normally the way it works out.
Yeah, I would think if you go to the Balaga house, Abby and Brian will have a charcuterie board. I almost feel guaranteed. Like, you go down there, you're going to have wine and charcuterie. That's what the Balagas. Am I crazy to think that?
No, you're not. Abby is big into that. She's really good at making those. So that's right up her alley. So you're spot on.
While we're here on this, how often do you guys, when you're active NFL players, invite your teammates over to your place during the season?
Early on, a lot more than as you get older. At least I can only speak for me. And then it's, you know, when you start getting older, it was more, you know, we used to play cards, we'd have people over, and then it was more Thanksgiving-ish or holiday, and you get the O-line or get, you know, a group of people together to have a couple of cocktails. And that was more, I think as a younger player, you do more stuff. And as you got older, it was more one big event rather than, you know, five or six small ones. That's at least in my history, Brian.
No, that's the truth. I mean, it was the O-line dinner every week, right? That was like something you always did. But then getting the wives together and all that. I mean, then guys have kids, so then it's trying to plan all that and trying to get sitters and things for that with the guys with kids. It, you know, there's a lot of planning to that. And the guys that are single or just have wives or girlfriends that don't have kids, it's very easy for them. But the guys with kids, it takes a little more planning, right? Mm-hmm. There's a little more to it. But gosh, right, the holidays, guys normally make sure everything's in order there.
Somebody's got a place to go. Yep. Everybody's got a place to go.
O-line dinner. Yeah, O-line dinner always. I mean, that's a must. And then, you know, I mean, like, there may be a random, like, Monday night, guys all get together and go do something. You know what I mean? Like, but normally the wives, they do stuff throughout the week. Like, normally it's like we're at the stadium, you know, working, and they're normally the ones that get together and do stuff without us.
Yeah, they got a pretty good
setup. Why would you want to do anything with us?
They had a pretty good little setup going there, no doubt about it. Yeah. All right, Blue, you watched some film. You saw what happened in Indy. It was a great comeback. And I'm not interested in all, you know, what were, from the guys that you feel fairly confident are going to be on this roster heading into that first week of Detroit, what did you see that you liked about from last Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, we saw, like, the second half was what it was, right? I mean, like, you know, Colts made subs, we made subs, and I mean, it's good to see the team fight back and battle back and you know, win. But like, let's focus on kind of the first half, right? Like, I mean, the first half of the game, I mean, Indy played their starters to start the game, right? And that's kind of where we saw, at least for Green Bay offensively, where they struggle a little bit, right? Tons of penalties, I think 11 penalties in the first half. You play a lot of football. I played a lot of football. Don't ever remember like a game where there was, I mean, maybe 11 penalties in a whole game, but 11 penalties in a first half. Like that's a wild number, right? Like when you hear that type of number, like you kind of like throws up a little bit of a red flag to you. So like, that made me want to go back and watch it a lot more too, because like I'm like, come on, there can't be that many penalties. Like you can't even like throw that many flags like on purpose. But they were legit, right? Like I mean, they weren't bad penalties. That like, oh, you can't throw that. But listen, I think the question was all on Belton, right? He had five on his own. Right. And you look at him, it was like a legal procedure. So he's too far back. And then he had, I think, a personal foul and then some hold. I mean, like, so you look at that first half and then how he kind of played in the first half. It wasn't all bad how he actually played when there wasn't penalties. Right. Like, I mean, his actual play was not bad. but it was just the penalties that overshadows that, and that turns it into a mishmash of, like, it just all looks bad, right? Like, no matter what you do when you have that many penalties, it's going to look terrible. And then you see LaFleur come off at halftime going up to Belton.
Yeah, that's tough. That is tough.
It's just a tough look. But then you go into the second half, and Belton played fine. Like, he played good, right? Like, I mean, he settled down. There are no penalties. He played his game, and, like, whatever it was, whatever he got told in the locker room at halftime or whatever they said, the whole offensive line settled down and played well. I think Jordan Morgan again played well, right? Like, at left tackle, I think he did what he needed to do. I think he took, like, 31 or 32 snaps, so he wasn't in there too long. But he played well again. So, like, the competition, I feel, there continues to drag on, right? Like, that it extends another week, and here we go into Seattle and joint practices and all that. Like, it goes again, right? And I would imagine Sheed is back this week, and this competition is going to continue on. And the one unfortunate part, right, like, I think for me was Lloyd getting hurt, because you watched him play, and there was a lot of excitement when he touched the ball, right? Like, you see a lot of twitch, mm-hmm. and explosion, and, like, potentially, like, a lot of creativity in his game when he gets the ball. And seeing him run routes and get out of the backfield, it reminds you a lot of what Aaron Jones used to do in LaFleur's offense, right, and how he was utilized. And it's just unfortunate, like, how he continues to just come up with these injuries, and it stinks for him, because obviously it's hard. Like, I get people are, you know, he's this, he's that. Like, listen, there's some times where, like, you get hamstring injuries and groin injuries. Like, guys aren't trying to catch those, right? He's not out there trying to catch these injuries, right? Like, I mean, he's probably doing everything he can to avoid them and prevent them. And it's just, they are what they are right now. But he's a guy that I enjoyed watching on tape while I was able to watch him, because I haven't been able to really see him, right? Like, he just hasn't been on any film at all from last year up until really this year, until this indie game. Then you see him, and it was really fun to see him play for the time he was in, because he's a very explosive type player. So I hope he's able to, you know, get healthy as soon as possible. But besides that, like, it was a mishmash of players, right? Like, I mean, you look at who played and who's going to be there on the final 53. I really don't know. Like, I will say this on defense, like, really like to see Bo Melton out there, right? Like, I enjoyed seeing that. Like, he continues to do his thing, right? Like, and to me, that's fun, and I'm excited for him as a player that, like, he gets turned over on defense as a wide receiver, gets put over on defense, and he just continues to go about his business, improve, play. He's not getting burnt or beat deep or anything like that. He's handling his business. And to me, like, it's a good story, and I'm happy for him. Like, that's hard to do as a player. It's just, hey, you're going to go play defense now, like, start a camp and, like, actually do well at it. So, like, I'm that's another really exciting thing to see. But, like, from a whole team standpoint, like, there's a few guys obviously that are going to make the 53. Like, you look at Belton, you look at obviously Jordan Morgan, you look at obviously Bo Melton, Sean Ryan. Like, I mean, those guys are going to make the 53. I mean, Sean Ryan's going to be a starter. Like, that's a right guard. He's going to start at right guard, not going to start at center or where, you know, like, none of that. But it's hard to judge everyone as a whole when it's just, like, guys kind of mixed up. It's really difficult. And then the Colts are thrown in their ones. It's a hard thing to judge, because the Colts defense isn't bad. Like, they have a good defense. They had a good defense last year. It's a Gus Bradley defense. We all know the scheme. It's the Seattle defense. I've gone against it a bunch. You've gone against it a bunch. That type of scheme. Like, it's a tough defense to go against. They got good players. So it's hard to judge, like, what guys are doing when there's really no wideouts. The offensive line's kind of mixed up. And So overall, like, the defense played good, right? I mean, they didn't really allow anything. So you could take that away. The defense looked good. They held their own. And offensively, it was a tough first half. And penalties certainly don't help it when you're behind the chains almost every drive. Like, almost every drive, you're behind the chains because of penalties. Like, no one's going to look good when that's the case. Like, it's so really hard to get anything going.
No doubt. Blue is, you know, Elgton Jenkins going to be a starting center. We all know that. Is the backup center, is it going to be Sean Ryan if something happens to Elgton? Is that, in your opinion, what they're going to end up doing?
That's what it appears. That's what it appears.
Do you like that? Because Sean's a guard. I think he's a guard. I think he is aggressive. He comes off. I don't know. Do you feel good about that, if that is what Green Bay needs to do? Because Elton's obviously been fighting a back injury most of camp.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, you look at the roster and you look who they have, and obviously it's Monk is obviously the guy that's been training at center, right?
Mm-hmm.
Preseason and OTAs.
But then they don't put him in. They don't put him in there. Like, it doesn't.
Correct. Yesterday or this weekend would have been the time.
Yes.
Or whatever.
Yes.
Would have been the time to start him next to Sean Ryan. Let's see it, right?
Yep.
Start him next to if you're going to play Sean Ryan, that's fine. But start him next to Sean Ryan. And, like, you know, let's see how that goes. But they didn't. And so.
What does that tell you? Blue, what does that tell you? Does that tell you they ain't going to play center?
It appears, yeah. I mean, it tells me that they don't trust him as the true backup center yet. That's what it tells me, that they, it's Elgton and Sean Ryan that are the 1-2 center. Like, that's what that tells me. So, but then we get in, and this is kind of what Jason and I had talked about. This is where we get into this. If this, say something happens to Elgton, right? Like, say something happens. Now we get into this issue of we're moving multiple spots around, right? Unless we're just thinking, hey, we're plugging Belton in right away at right guard. He's the guy that we're plugging in.
I don't know. Has he taken reps at right guard? Has he taken anything besides right tackle? Maybe a little left tackle, but he's been all right tackle, right?
Yeah, in games, but I have no idea what he does in practice, right? Like, I don't know what happens in practice. So this is where it gets funny, because – so is the thought process then, say Jordan Morgan wins the left tackle battle. I don't know if he does or not, but say he does. So now are we going to move Jordan Morgan to right guard, putting Sheet, and now we're moving three guys.
Yes, that is what they'll do. That's what they're going to do.
Yeah, and that to me is just it's a head scratcher for one guy having to be moved or to change one position out, right? Like,
well, and Blue on top of that, you know, Banks has been battling this back. He didn't practice. They put Jordan Morgan at left guard. So here you have a guy that has played better than everybody expected. You know, he struggled in family night, gave up a little bit to Lucas Van Ness, which, by the way, sounds like Lucas Van Ness is getting a little something on everybody he's going against. He's handling his business at left tackle better than we thought, and I think he's given himself a great opportunity to win that job, which none of us would have said the first week of training camp. And now his versatility is going to end up probably hurting him, because they can put him at left guard and right guard, and he needs to be – with this group, you need versatility, because you don't have the Lucas Patricks or the guy that you feel like – we could put him at left guard, center, or right guard. They don't have that guy. Sean Ryan is that guy, but he's a starter. And so the whole thing is a real it's a real mess if something does happen to Elgton.
Yes, 100%. Like, they don't have – and, like, that's why last year I was, like – I mean, I guess you could say on my soapbox. I was on my soapbox. I hey, like, it'd be great to get a veteran in that can do those three things, right? That can be that –
well,
that guy that
31 other teams want that too, in fairness.
I know, but like, I know, but I don't mean like the guy that you can plug in and he's going to play 16 games. I just mean like he could go in there in a pinch and finish out a game, and like it's not going to be catastrophic.
Philadelphia. Right? Like, that's, it won't be like the Philly game. Yeah.
Yes. Like, that's kind of what I mean. And and if something happens to Elgton, you're changing up everything. Like, it is a complete change to three different positions, and like you always try to avoid like and Campy was the same way. Like if someone gets hurt, you try to minimize the guys you move. Like you
especially
try
for
make,
that game. Then when you get to practice the next week, then you can start tinkering a little bit. But Blue, I think we're saying the same thing here. Yes, Jordan Love and his thumb and the injury, we'll talk about that next. Elgton Jenkins, he might be – you're looking at maybe one of the most valuable pieces to this whole group because if he can't play or if he is any way limited, you're talking about shuffling three guys on a group that you're expecting to be one of the strengths of your football team. They are not – I do not think they feel great about anybody else playing center. I just don't.
No. I mean, you normally have a backup center, right? That like obviously you have your one center who you love, right? Like he's the guy, right? Like he's always the guy. But normally
at least
backup,
for this year they love him. At least for this year.
Yeah, at least for this year. But normally your backup, the guy most likely did a lot of it in college, right? Like he played it in college and now he's kind of that swing guy. Right, like, and he's able to bounce around. Well, Monk was a college center, but they don't. He's
yeah. There's
not
something the, there. He, yeah, I, that's something Wilby needs to investigate a little bit more. How, what kind of camp and where he's at? Because he was supposed to be the guy. And if you're going to let Elgton Jenkins go, what's your plan moving forward next? That's another thought that we'll get to after the break.
Yeah, we ended up doing our tackle talk segment there, which is all great.
Sure.
That's awesome insight from both of you guys. It's my pleasure to sit back and just listen to it like I normally do on this show. So we are going to talk about Jordan Love's injury status. He was back as a limited participant in practice, very, very, very limited yesterday. We'll hear what Brian Bulaga thinks of that coming up next as we continue with Brian Bulaga live from my house. It's Jesse and Tausch on Wilde and Tausch.
Brian Bulaga on Wilde and Tausch is brought to you by Surfside. Surfside iced tea and vodka and Surfside lemonade and vodka. It's light, refreshing, and has zero bubbles. It's perfect for a day on the golf course or a day at American Family Field. Cheers to Surfside.
Got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in.
Continuing with Brian Bulaga on Wilde and Tausch, Jesse and Tausch today. Jason has the day off. He'll be back tomorrow. But he was on the sidelines of Packers training camp practice the other day when you were doing the baby voice, Tausch, with Jordan.
Oh, yeah. Blue, can you believe this? So, you know, Jordan busts his thumb up. He's got surgery on it. And he decides he wants to get out there and play. He wants to do what he can. And Jason, Johnny Helicopter, is just, oh, he shouldn't be out there. What are they doing? And I'm saying, Jason, he's able to throw into windows in 7-on-7. And what on earth are you thinking? I think finally after I baby-voiced him to death, making fun of him, he came across yesterday and said, you know what, I think you were right. When you can get out there and mimic and do anything you can when you're hurt, to get back out there quicker, you're going to do it. What the hell do you think Jason was thinking when he made those crazy comments that he thought it was crazy for Jordan Love to be out there?
Maybe he thought something. He was going to do something else than what he was actually doing.
No, he was afraid he'd slip and fall.
It was raining, and
it was wet, and he thought he'd slip, and he maybe would hurt his thumb.
Oh. okay, maybe though he slipped. I don't
you have to laugh at him like that. It's kind of mean.
I don't know. I agree with Tausch.
All right, Blue, that's all I was looking for. So, Brian, can you kind of go through, because there are concerns, right? He's out there throwing, and I think everybody's excited. He's throwing 7-on. LaFleur hates 7-on-7, but they put it in for this scrimmage tomorrow so that Jordan gets some work. He's not going to play in the game, obviously, on Saturday. But when you're starting to look at this big picture, and everybody's saying all the right stuff, that he's going to be 100% and all this, where do you think, limitation-wise, this could come into play against the Detroit Lions? Is it, handing the football off under center, taking the snaps. Because to me, if you have to adjust and it's going to be more shotgun, duo runs, the stuff Josh Jacobs likes anyways, and you have to do that for a couple of weeks until he's fully, fully healthy, I'm okay with that. But that's where you have the wideouts being out. How realistic is it for you to feel like this offense can where will they be at efficiency-wise against the Detroit Lions when you start factoring in his thumb and all of the injuries at the wide receiver spot?
I mean, yeah, they're not. There's, I mean, just from looking at it practically, it's hard to believe that they'll be at like 100% efficiency, right? Like, I mean, it can't be that way based on just injuries alone, right? Like, and it's simply because of time on field together, right? Like, and taking reps and not 7-on-7 reps, but like reps. You know, live reps, and I don't mean like in a preseason game, but just in 11-on-11 versus like Packers defense or in this joint practice or last week against the Colts, like just things like that is how you build that efficiency as an offense, right? Like that's how you build, you know, timing and see looks and know what's good and what's not. And when you don't get those reps and now, you know, you have the injury list that you do at wide receiver and at quarterback, and pieces slowly come back, and now Jordan, yeah, he's doing 7-on-7, he's thrown it, but he's not taking snaps from Elton. He's not handing the ball off to Jacobs. He's not at the line making checks with the linemen. He's not doing any of those things. That inhibits things, and the wide receivers aren't seeing him make hand signals and checks. And I mean, there's all these things that aren't happening that allow an offense to operate at 100%, right? Like these are all things that need to be, you know, at high efficiency for the offense to just be clicking. And it needs to, and you don't even think about that kind of stuff as a fan watching it. But those things all get sorted out in camp and during these practices and these joint practices. I mean, that's how you figure that out. And it's just, it's not currently happening. I don't think, like, you know, against Detroit, you're right. He probably won't be doing too much under center work. Now, maybe he will. Maybe the thumb will be better than we think. But that would be the thing that I would think he'll be a little bit, you know, hampered by, is taking, you know, snaps under center and then handing the ball off with his left hand to Jacobs. That would be where I see it being a little dicey, right? But I think everything else, he should be fine, right? Like, I don't know what else would be the issue. I think obviously he's probably learned his lesson. If he's going to get sacked, probably should just go down, right? Like if you're going to get sacked, I mean, if you think you can get out of it, sure, get out of it. But if you're going to get sacked and you know you're getting sacked, just go down. Like do the old Tom Brady and just go down. There's no point to try to fight out of a sack when you're pretty much wrapped up and it's over. But we were so, I guess maybe I was the only one that thought this. I was so excited for more under center, stretch, zone, kind of, yeah, play action, older LaFleur, or not even older LaFleur, 2 years ago LaFleur, right? Like, it's not older LaFleur.
Yeah, pre-Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, I was just really looking forward to Jacobs being integrated into that type of scheme, along with Jacobs doing what he loves to do, which is the duo scheme, and seeing that, and having Detroit try to prepare for both of those types of schemes, right? Like, and I just don't think with this injury and the thumb and having to take, you know, a bunch of snaps under center that we're going to see much of that, right? And what we know what that does, Tausch, that inhibits the play action game. Mm-hmm. So now you're automatically really hampering that part of the offense, right? I mean, especially
the fact that you want to highlight Tucker Kraft, and you know the tight end benefits probably more than almost anybody when it comes to the play action pass stuff, and that remains to be seen. How, if you're LaFleur, do you slow play this a little bit? And I think I possum this thing. And I say, Jordan Love, we hope he's ready to go, but Malik Willis is going to be taking reps too, because he's going to provide a different thing. And all of a sudden, Detroit has to start spending time and resources into game planning against what Malik Willis does. Even though everything is saying that Jordan Love's going to play, I think I possum this bad boy. And I said, I don't know. You know, Jordan's coming along. He's doing well. But Malik Willis is playing good. We're going to have both guys ready, and we don't know who we're going to start. Or at least we don't know who's going to play the lion's share of the reps.
No, I think you have to do that because obviously the game planning is different, but what Malik Willis can do is obviously way different than what Jordan can do, and the packages are different, right? Like we're talking we saw what Willis can do last year and then obviously another year in the system, so he's obviously way more comfortable and tuned into what he needs to do as a passer and with the pass game and all that. But Detroit would then have to really plan for, you know, multiple things, which, you know, they could say, nah, we know Love's playing. We may not even, they may ignore it, but that doesn't mean you still can't say it and use it and make them, just in the back of their mind, think about it. Right?
If they use two periods on Malik Willis runs and different things, that's two periods. They're not doing other stuff. So I don't think it matters, but I just think at this point when you're more than likely going to have to limit some of the packaging that you do under center with whatever you're going to do with Jordan Love, I think this would be fun. And I think it'd be good to make Detroit think about some other stuff.
I agree. I mean, it doesn't hurt. It certainly doesn't hurt. It doesn't do any harm to the Packers. It doesn't do any harm to them. And honestly, like, let's be real here. Like, we don't know, regardless of how Jordan Love's healing, which I would imagine he's healing just fine. We don't know how it's going to be when he gets out there against Detroit. Like, we have no idea if it's going to be a hit. We don't know how. Like, I don't know what happens with that. Willis is half. Like, we just put it this way: Willis has to be ready regardless, right? Say Jordan Love falls a weird way and that thing gets re-injured and he's out for a series getting it taped.
Yep.
Willis has to be ready to go. And that's a series,
Brian,
that you just can't forfeit.
And Brian, I would say, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, when's the last time you felt this good about the backup quarterback situation in Green Bay? Last year at this time, we were a hot mess. Oh, and they pulled Willis. They got him for, I think, a seventh. And everybody's like, he didn't know the system. He struggled in Tennessee. And then he went and did what he did. And now, not that there's not a, we really want Jordan back, but there is no sense of panic, and I would bet LaFleur and their staff are like, if Jordan does miss a couple weeks, we know we can win with Malik Willis because we've already done it. I would argue, I don't know, is it Matt Flynn? The last time you felt this good about having a backup quarterback in this spot, has it been that long?
Yeah, and I mean, and you played with them and I played with them. Like, and I felt, I mean, listen, like, obviously we all wanted Aaron out there, right? Like, obviously it was, I mean, if you're going to pick a quarterback, it was Aaron. But if Flynn went in, you felt
like you could win. Right? Like, I mean, absolutely.
Like, yeah, you felt like you could win. So, I mean, you can probably go back that far. And the thing is, nobody's saying here, right? And, like, it's the same thing I just said about Aaron and Flynn. No one's saying that, like, I'd rather have Malik Willis and Jordan Love. No, you all want Jordan Love out there. Right, like that's what we're like.
Most of us, sure. Most of us. There's a few.
Okay.
There's some cats that are crazy, but yeah.
Maybe there's a few detractors, but for the majority, we'd rather have Jordan Love out there, obviously, all the time. But if something were to happen, I am fine with Malik Willis going out there playing his style of game, and I think they can win with his play at quarterback, right? And I think LaFleur understands how to build a game plan and adjust a game plan around him. Like, I really do. And I think guys, especially up front and Jacobs and the tight ends, because that was who he really relied on when he went in, understand what it takes to win around him, which I think is important, right? Like, you need to understand what to expect out of the quarterback, the guys up front, the tight ends, and the running back. Like, hey, what do we need to give him to win? And that's very clear. With the guys on this team, what they need to give Willis. So, like, that is what it is. He's going to have to take reps regardless at practice. So you might as well say, we don't know. We're going to have to see. I mean, we're going to give Jordan all week, but we got to see.
Yep.
I don't know if Seneca Wallace and Brett Hundley are tuned in on the YouTube stream or not, but if they are, I think they'd be offended by the conversation.
Yeah, the Seneca Wallace thing was a big... There have been some seasons where it was neglected, assuming old boy was never going to get hurt, and when it happened, you saw you weren't prepped. And that's where I give Goody a ton of credit for last year. He knew they didn't have it, and they went and did something about it, and it got him in the playoffs. If they didn't do that... Whew! Conversation this offseason is a whole lot different if you only win 7 games and don't make the playoffs, which they would have probably done if it was Sean Clifford and not Malik Willis.
Brian, we look forward to catching up with you next
Brian,
week.
Brian, what's the one spot in Jesse's house you'd want the camera? You'd be like, this is where I want to see what Jesse Nelson's all about.
I don't know. You're in the
We're in the basement, the bar. It's nice.
I want to see, like, what's flipped behind. Like, what's behind?
It's very artsy.
Oh, here. I'll go do that. You talk to him for a second.
It's very artsy, Blue. You'd think, Jesse just got off the streets of the Chaison La Fra, or whatever that is down in France. There, you see that?
Oh, well, and liquor. Okay.
Yeah, it's all booze.
A lot of alcohol.
Well, okay. Becca said she needed a lot of booze to kind of make this thing go. That's just what she said, not what I said. All right, Blue. Well, hey, we appreciate it. We will talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
That is Brian Bulaga. He joins us every Wednesday on Wilde and Tausch, and sometimes he fills in for Tausch hosting the whole show.
Indeed he does, and I'm going to tell you something. Our friends at American Family Insurance, they just keep doing it. They got Dream Drive. That's rolling. Obviously, training camp is finishing up. But I think with the Brewers where they're at, the best sweepstakes that we've seen. Fan experience of a lifetime. Yep, American Family Insurance, they're here to make it happen. Enter the Super Fan Tailgate Sweepstakes for your chance to win. This is unbelievable. Pre-game tailgate party for you and 5 friends. Complete. You get not only a DJ, not only do you get field-level tickets, you get a hotel stay, you get great Brewers merch, you get Christian Yelich memorabilia. Woo. This is what puts it over the top. You get a private chef. A private chef at your tailgate? Are you kidding me? Head to amfam.com/brewers. Again, that's amfam.com/brewers. No purchase is necessary. You have until the stroke of midnight on the 25th of August. Again, official rules and entry at amfam.com/brewers.
That's Monday. I think you're looking for an
assist. Is that what it is?
Monday coming up, 25th. All right. Live from my house, Wilde and Tausch continues straight ahead in 2 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.